Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dead America. Tales of the First Month. The Old Man on the Hill. Day 0 plus 17. 8 a.m. The alarm rang like a toddler who'd found the pots and pans, sending a shrill metallic sound echoing through the calm Arkansas morning. Otis grumbled as he reached over, smacking his hand down on the wind-up clock, wincing as the hammer pinched his finger between it and the bell. He picked it up, pulling it close and flicking it to the off position before dropping it onto the bed beside him. Better get to it, Otis grunted to himself. The days aren't very long, and there's lots to get done. He sat up, his 70-year-old body filled with aches and pains. He shifted to the side of the bed, planting his feet on the floor. He was still in pretty decent shape given his age, and that stemmed from a willingness to get up and face the day every day. He pulled himself up and shuffled over to the window, pulling the shade slightly down to unlatch it before it spun upwards, almost to the top. The sun crested the horizon in the distance, beams of light piercing through the trees. He'd had always loved this view from atop Quigley Hill, one of the highest spots in town. His father had staked claim to the property after the war in the 40s and never gave it up. People over the years had tried to pry it away from the family, but his father refused to give it up. When it was handed down to him, he swore to keep it in the family. In recent years, everybody from investors to the bank wanted to purchase the spot. With the town being 40 miles away from Little Rock, it was an ideal home for a commuter. Nowadays, however, he was defending the property from a different threat: zombies. Otis soaked in the sunrise before looking down the 40-yard slope, letting out a sigh in the process. There was movement, lots of it, caught up in the barbed wire and spike traps he had meticulously set up. A dozen ghouls writhed helplessly, attempting to free themselves. "Looks like I have some work to do before breakfast," he said with a sigh, and walked to the closet, pulling out a pair of tattered overalls. There were faint bloodstains on them, impossible to get out by hand. Otis didn't mind, however. He was used to coming home dirty after a hard day's work, and work was a lot harder these days than before. Otis walked through the house, an older single-floor home with some modern renovations. A nice new kitchen had been installed about 5 years prior, featuring a gas stove, which was something that he was incredibly thankful for, since he'd had the good fortune of topping off the tank just before everything went to hell. He made it outside, standing at the top of the driveway that snaked down the hill to the road below. He stretched, letting the sun warm his dark skin, and surveyed another half-dozen creatures caught in the labyrinth of traps. His hill looked more like a fortified World War II position than a normal residence yard. "Not even letting me have my coffee yet," he muttered, and walked across the driveway where he had his old pickup truck sitting with the keys on the dash. He didn't want to leave his home, but in certain circumstances, escape might be the only option. There was a standalone building just off of the side of the house, about 15 by 15 feet. He opened the door to reveal a wood shop, filled to the brim with tools and materials. Some of the larger tools had been pushed off to the side, as with no power, they were little more than expensive paperweights. Luckily, Otis and his dad were both old-school woodworkers, with an entire wall full of hand tools. He walked over to the table in the middle of the room, which had a 6-foot-long wooden stake with duct tape on one end and a bloody point on the other. He picked it up and turned it over in his hands. "Simple but effective," he murmured. Come on now, we have some work to do. Otis carried his instrument of death outside, taking a moment to bask in the sun before looking down the hill at his daily work. He nodded to himself before talking to the first creature, who managed to navigate the maze-like structure of the barricades and get halfway up the hill. Look at this go-getter, Otis muttered as he regarded the zombie, dressed in a tattered and bloody business suit. You look like you were doing all right in life before this, too. Nice suit and all. Probably worked in the city. He paused and thought for a moment before shaking his head. I wonder if you were one of those bankers who kept trying to get hands on my house. He shrugged. Looks like I'll get to do what I always dreamed of doing every time people like you came knocking on my door. He reared back before jamming the tip of the spear forcefully into the ghoul's face. It quivered for a moment before collapsing in a heap onto the spool of barbed wire that was wrapped around the wooden posts. He stood there for a moment, admiring the job he'd just done, but that moment didn't last long as another corpse thrashed and interrupted his quiet. A middle-aged woman missing several chunks of flesh writhed about, leg caught up in the barbed wire. The excitement over seeing a fresh meal allowed the corpse to break free, shambling towards him. Rather than panic or engage in battle, he took several steps to the right. This altered the course of the creature, and it shambled right into one of the other barbed wire traps, just a few yards away from its fallen friend. Otis took a few steps back, making sure he was out of reach of the excited creature. He stood there for a moment, carefully lining up his shot. I'm sorry, ma'am, but thank you for being predictable, he said. I'm getting too old to be fighting a fair fight. In my youth, though, I would have messed you up. He delivered the kill shot, the creature slumping over, as he took a moment to catch his breath, his 70-year-old lungs already not happy. He looked down the hill at the collection of trapped ghouls excitedly waiting their turn to be introduced to his pointy friend. Okay, now, y'all gonna have to wait your turn, he huffed. I ain't as quick as I used to be. He spent the better part of the next hour slowly working his way through the trapped mob. As he approached the bottom of the hill, dispatching the final ghoul, he looked back up towards the house and building, shaking his head. At the very peak of the building stood a tall pole with a shiny silver weather vane sitting high above it, a good 10 feet above the already tall peak of the roof. He let out a sigh, the sun reflecting off of it as it rotated, sending out a high-pitched squeak as it turned. Pops, you just had to show off to everyone around, didn't you? He asked wistfully, shaking his head, a reminder that he had to work hard every single day just to make it to a new one. His father had been proud to make this place the shining beacon on the hill, and the weather vane was just the icing on the cake. On a clear day, you could see the reflection glinting across the horizon from half a mile away. Otis understood why his pops had done it, as a kind of finger in the eye to a certain faction in town that wasn't happy a man like him had this prime piece of real estate. Nowadays, however, it acted like a homing beacon to every undead creature that wandered nearby. Otis stared up at it for a few more moments before shaking his head and chuckling under his breath. Can't be too mad at you, Pops. It's my fault for never buying a tall enough ladder to take that thing down, or at least one tall enough so I could oil it up. He looked back up the hill at a pile of dead bodies laying in the sunlight. He looked at his watch, seeing that it was a little past 9. Down the road, there were no creatures within view. Yeah, I think I can grab some coffee, he said, surveying the unmoving corpses, pursing his lips at the fact that there were more than usual. Well, half a cup anyway. 9:43 a.m. Otis sat at the kitchen table, nursing his cup of coffee. It wasn't the greatest in the world. Freeze-dried instant stuff, but it was better than the alternative, which was nothing. No power meant no coffee maker. Not that he had much of the regular stuff anyway. All right now, you got a lot of work to get done, he muttered to himself. Best get to it. He motivated himself to get moving, downing the last of his coffee before walking towards the door. As he emerged, the sun was fully in the sky, illuminating the slope around his house. He began the exhausting task of removing the bodies from the barricades. In the early days of the outbreak, he tried leaving them in place, thinking it would create another barrier for the creatures to deal with. But in reality, all that did was weaken the traps, and in some cases, created a stepping stone for the ghouls to crawl right over the barbed wire. As a result, he had to clear each body away. That morning, he decided to start with the businessman he dispatched first. He put on some thick gloves before pulling the body away from the barbed wire, the gloves protecting his hands from the blood-soaked pokers. It was a struggle moving such a heavy body, the dead weight not cooperating in any way as he moved down the hill. It took several minutes of pulling and navigating down through the open areas in the barricade before he reached the street. Otis thought for a moment, looking around for the best place to drop it. There was a pile of corpses across the street in a field, creatures that were foolish enough to try and storm his personal castle on previous days. But the pile was getting tall. He shrugged and decided to start piling them up on the other side of things. He dropped the body to the side of the driveway, not wanting to block his only potential route of escape. As the body hit the dirt, he looked back up the hill. "Okay," he huffed. "That's one." 12:37 p.m. Otis breathed heavily as he staggered back up the hill to grab the final body on the ground. As he approached, he was reminded that it had been a skinny teenage girl, no more than 14. "Saved the easiest for last," he muttered, and his body seemed relieved that the heavy lifting for the day was over, with just the petite 70-pound girl left. He pulled her away from the barbed wire and dragged the body by the arm down to the others he'd piled up. Otis stretched his lower back, bending backwards as far as his body would allow. A few bones cracked a bit, and his muscles screamed, but it was necessary. He checked his watch. "Not even one yet," he groaned. "Get a bite to eat, and then get to work on those barricades. Just in case we have more company this evening." He took a few steps out to the road, looking in the direction towards the small center of town, and only seeing a couple of stragglers in the road about half a mile up. He wasn't concerned, as they didn't appear to be coming his way. He turned in the other direction, towards Little Rock. At first, he didn't see anything, but as he turned away, he caught a glimpse out of the corner of his eye. He paused, staring down the highway to the horizon. It was hard to focus, his 7-decade-old eyes showing their age. He couldn't make out zombies, but he could see a dot on the horizon. "Unless you want to walk down and see if you're seeing things, you'd best go get the scope," he muttered to himself, and nodded before climbing back up the hill. When he got into the house, he reached beside the door for the hunting rifle, and then stepped back outside, moving over to the best vantage point and aiming down the highway. It took him a moment to find the road. He wasn't much of a hunter, but he'd humored his pops growing up, going on a few hunts now and again. Finally, he was able to find the road, slowly moving the scope up it. His brain wasn't prepared to process what he was seeing. Instinctively, he lowered the weapon, shaking his head and rubbing his eyes with one hand. He took a deep breath and raised the gun again, peering through the scope. It was unmistakable, a giant pack of zombies. Not the 6 to 10 he was used to seeing. This was easily in the hundreds. 2, maybe 3. The exact number not mattering much, since any more than a few dozen would be enough to overrun his meager defenses. As he stood there, petrified and unsure of what to do, the only sound was the high-pitched squeaking of the weather vane above. He turned and stared up at it with disdain. "Don't suppose you could do me a favor and stop moving for a few hours, could you?" he asked. The weather vane's only response was to squeak even louder, spinning completely around as a gust of wind blew through. "Guess not," he muttered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
12:59 p.m. Otis scrambled through the house, rushing to the kitchen and throwing open the pantry door. He dropped to his knees and reached to the very back on the floor, grabbing a cardboard box. As he pulled it forward, glass rattled about. Inside were half a dozen glass soda bottles, long empty. "There we go," he said, hefting it up into his arms. Otis took the box into the bedroom, where there was a kerosene heater in the corner. In the closet behind it, there was a small canister of fuel that was mostly empty. He used it to fill up the bottles, stopping about 3/4 of the way up. After the fourth bottle, the container ran dry. He thought for a moment, looking at the heater, knowing that he'd filled it right up the night before. "Gonna be some cold nights ahead," he murmured. "Of course, if I don't do something about those things." He trailed off, not wanting to think of the alternative. He reached into the closet and found the small manual pump and hose, siphoning off fuel from the heater. It took most of the fuel from the heater, but the other two bottles were full. After turning a bloody t-shirt into strips, he stuffed them into the bottles before using a worn-out sweater to secure them in the box, not wanting to risk them cracking as he walked. "Well, Pops," he said as he worked, "you always thought I should have been a baseball player. Really wishing I would have followed your advice." Otis rotated his arm a few times, his shoulder and muscles aching, already under the strain of the previous couple of weeks' worth of work. If he was going to survive, though, he'd have to power through. 1:13 p.m. Otis reached the road at the bottom of the hill, pausing briefly before beginning to hike towards the approaching mob. He set the box of Molotovs on the ground before looking through his scope on the rifle. Seeing that the mob was still headed his way, they stretched completely across the road, about 10 to 12 bodies across, all lumbering slowly. Otis looked down at his 6 paltry weapons, shaking his head and doubting it was going to do much good. "Well, only one way to find out," he groaned, and picked up the box. The aches and pains were catching up to him, his entire body throbbing as he moved about as fast as the ghouls headed his way were moving. It took a good 10 minutes of walking before he started to get close, and he stopped about 50 yards away from them. He was close enough for them to catch a glimpse of him, which excited the corpses. Otis had heard moans before, but not this many, all at once, aimed in his direction. He picked up the first bottle, taking out his lighter and flicking the lid open. He waited, trying to estimate just how far he could throw. He looked to the ground, seeing a mid-sized rock, and bent over to pick it up. "Just don't throw your shoulder out, old man," he urged, and set the bottle on the ground before pulling his arm back and flinging it forward as hard as he could. The rock soared through the air, landing with a thud about 10 yards in front of the marching throng of ghouls. He shook his head. "It sure as hell isn't going to go any further than that," he said, and readied himself again, waiting for the ghouls to cross over the rock's landing spot. He lit up one of the bottles, waiting to make sure the fire was secure before throwing it. The Molotov sailed through the air, crashing to the ground about 3 zombies deep. The flame quickly spread, engulfing several zombies. They were unimpressed with the fire, continuing to walk as they became covered in flames, setting others on fire as they moved. Otis quickly lit up another one, taking a few steps forward before lobbing it into the crowd, creating a new pocket of flaming zombies before retreating. "This ain't gonna clear 'em out," he huffed, "but it's gonna help." 1:47 p.m. Otis was back to the edge of the driveway, holding the final Molotov in his hand. The mob of ghouls had dropped by about half, and the fire was doing a pretty good job of thinning the mob. But not good enough. "Okay, old man," he said with a sigh. "What you gonna do now?" He looked over to the edge of the first barricade, his pointed stick leaning up against it. "Yeah, just 100 jabs, and you'll be good to go. Think, old man, think," he urged himself. Otis turned back to the mob, which was within 25 yards of him. He figured that was close enough, so he lit and threw the bottle, his shoulder aching mightily with the motion. The Molotov fell short, shattering on the ground a couple yards in front of the first zombies. Luckily for him, the flames splashed up onto them, setting the first row on fire, quickly spreading. He used the opportunity to grab his stick and quickly get behind the barricade, staying put behind the first one, knowing he'd need to thin them out even more. He waited patiently for the fire to die down, pleased to see that he'd taken out about a dozen or so more with that pitiful throw of his. He readied his weapon, moving several steps away from the opening between the barbed wire, pulling the zombies into his trap. As soon as the first one got close, he stabbed, landing a direct hit. The last couple of weeks had provided him with plenty of practice that was now paying dividends. He struck down a couple more before the mob started pushing forward. So much weight was on his wood and barbed wire barricade that it pushed it towards him, forcing him to take a step back. As he stabbed frantically, he noticed that some of the ghouls had come around the opening and were moving towards him. He quickly broke from his fighting stance, running as best he could towards the next opening that would take him further up the hill. As he grew closer to it, one of the supports broke, sending barbed wire into the back of his leg. Otis cried out, pain burning white hot as his flesh ripped away from bone. He barely managed to stay on his feet, making it to the other side of the barricade, just as the first row one was completely destroyed by the mob of ghouls. He stared out over them, a cold, stark realization settling on his shoulders that he was in all kinds of trouble. They were going to roll right through the barbed wire and wood in a matter of minutes. There was no time for him to strike them down one by one. He growled to himself. "Whatever you're going to do, you'd better figure it out quick," he huffed. Otis continued to shuffle along the pathway back towards his driveway, hoping to get to the next opening that would take him further up the hill. As he went, one of the ghouls got close enough to reach out, and he jammed his stick at it, stabbing it in the eye socket. He jerked the stick free and continued half running, half hobbling. Otis knew there was no time to fight. He had to keep moving up the hill. But to do what? He had his rifle over his shoulder, but there were only a couple of shots left. It would be good enough to keep him from being eaten or starving to death if he became trapped in the house. But he wasn't ready to fully contemplate that avenue. When he reached the top of the hill, he spotted his truck, and inspiration hit him. He ran towards the vehicle as fast as he could. "I'm sorry, Bessie," he huffed as he threw open the door and got inside. "But I don't have another choice." He started the truck and revved the engine a few times before moving around to stand in front of it. He took out his rifle, aiming towards a zombie and firing. The bullet ripped through the chest of the corpse, which did nothing but draw its attention. He knew he wasn't going to shoot his way out of this, but the noise was vital. "Come on now," he bellowed. "Fine age meat waiting for you up here." He fired again, missing his target entirely while continuing to yell. The noise was enough to attract the zombies away from the barricades and back towards the driveway. The wooden barricades on the driveway were no match for the 60 to 70 zombies pressing up against it. Otis fired off his last shot, hitting a ghoul in the head and surprising himself. "About time I was due," he commended, and then continued to yell and whistle, pulling as many of the zombies over to the driveway as he could. Once they were mostly over there and about two-thirds of the way to him, he broke away and rushed over to the truck, pulling off his belt in the process. He quickly wrapped it around the steering wheel, securing it to the bottom of the steering wheel and the base of the seat. Otis looked up, making sure that the trajectory of the vehicle would make it down the driveway, which he was pretty sure it would. "I'm sorry, girl," he said. "I promise I'll fix you up if I live through this." He jammed the rifle down onto the gas pedal, wedging the barrel into the seat so it was down. The engine squealed loudly as it revved as fast as it could. Otis didn't waste time, reaching in and slamming the shifter into drive. The wheels immediately caught, the truck barreling towards the ghouls. The impact was sickening, flesh and bone splitting apart, bodies flying in the air, the engine getting angrier and angrier as it plowed through the mob. Otis picked up his pointed spear, taking a few steps up so he could see all the way down the hill. Bessie plowed through the pack, running fairly straight given no driver and the constant debris it was bouncing off of. He watched with pride as his beloved truck made it through them, bounding across the street and even picking up some air, crashing into the field across the way. It landed awkwardly, flipping over, the tires continuing to spin for several moments before the engine died. "You did good, Bessie," he said, shaking his head and then looked down. Several of the crushed zombies were still moving, with a dozen or so still shambling. They were spread out pretty well, though, some trapped in between barbed wire barriers that had been pushed together. The bigger concern were the seven creatures in the driveway that were walking towards him. Otis began to step forward, stopping when some of the crushed corpses on the ground reached for him. Instead, he stood his ground, readying for battle.
"I'm old, y'all," he called. "You gonna have to come up here if you want some."
He waited, weapon in hand, as the ghouls slowly marched towards him. As the first one got close, he jammed his weapon into its face so hard that it hit the back of its skull. The creature fell back, yanking the weapon out of his hands. For a brief moment, he panicked as another zombie made it within a few yards of him. He lunged forward, using his arms to shove the monster backwards. Luckily, he hit it with enough force that it stumbled away, slamming its head into the pavement with a sickening crack. Otis quickly pulled his weapon free and turned to attack, relieved to find the creature unmoving. "Control your stabs, Otis," he reminded himself. "If that thing had grabbed you, then you'd be roadkill right now." He got ready as a trio of tightly packed ghouls came his way. He took a few steps forward, delivering a strike to the lead zombie before quickly taking a few steps back. "Oh yeah, float like a butterfly," he cooed, and stepped forward to deliver another killing blow. Stings a lot harder than a 70-year-old man should. He killed the last one before taking a beat, waiting on the final two shamblers coming his way on the driveway. One by one, he struck them down, ending the immediate threat. He stood at the top of the hill, looking at the carnage that lay before him. There were mangled corpses everywhere, waiting to be put out of their misery. Trapped zombies would continue to writhe and moan until they were put down, and a completely decimated labyrinth of barricades that would need to be repaired and replaced. Not to mention poor old Bessie, that would need a lot of tender love and care. Otis began working his way down the hill, checking the mangled corpses and ending them quickly. Once they were cleared, he moved towards the trapped ghouls, taking his time to work his way through to them in the safest way possible. It took a little time, but he managed to strike them all down. Finally able to catch his breath, he looked over at the corpses, knowing that he needed some bit of protection for the night, because the rebuild was going to take days. He let out a deep sigh, knowing it was going to be a rough time. "No sense in complaining, old man," he said, wincing as the wound on his leg continued to burn. "Work ain't gonna do itself, so you'd best get to it." 6:47 p.m. After bandaging his leg up tight, Otis made it work, and the sun was growing lower and lower in the sky as he dragged yet another body over to his current pile. He strained to lift it up, finally giving up and letting it fall to the ground. He looked over his new makeshift barricade, which was made of bodies stacked four high, stretching across the entire front of his driveway and a few bodies deep in some places. "Ain't perfect," he quipped, "but it should get me through the night." He surveyed his old barricades, shaking his head at how rough in shape they were, though even with several layers pressed together, with some broken into pieces, most of it was still standing. "With as smart as these things are, they'll probably find their way to them anyway," he muttered, and gazed across the field at the sun dipping below the horizon. "That's all we're getting done today. Don't worry. Tomorrow's a brand new day filled with a whole lot of work." He made his way slowly up the hill towards the house, stopping at the top of the driveway and looking in both directions, relieved to not see anything this time. He nodded to himself with an aching neck and admired the view for another moment, the sunset providing some wonderfully vibrant colors painting across the sky. It wasn't long before the weather vane broke the mood, moving about in the breeze, sending a shrill metallic squeal into the air. He extended his hand and then flipped the weather vane his middle finger. "When my shoulder heals up, I'm gonna learn how to lasso and pull your squeaky ass down," he barked and laughed to himself, shaking his head as he headed inside to fix himself a well-deserved dinner. The sun was gone, but it would be back soon enough. This is the end of The Man on the Hill. Tune in next time for another tale from the first month.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.